Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
And welcome to the gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould. Thank you all for being with us tonight. How are you, Tom and Melissa?
Doing well.
Yes, we are. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Melissa, wear a blue shirt.
Oh, I'm sorry, Melissa.
You didn't get the memo?
I didn't.
So this is the show for all our listeners. In case you don't know, where we want you to share with us. And if you had a question about the afterlife or you wanted to share an experience you had, give us a call at 888-627-6008. You know, I meant to tell you this to you before the show, but I haven't seen this before. Got an email from a disgruntled person who had wanted to let us know that she had a reading with one of the FFF certified mediums and accused the medium of fraud and deception.
Ooh, wow.
And then, of course, I won't mention the medium's name, but it happens to be an excellent, practitioner. It turns out that the reason that she says that the medium must have Googled her because the information was exact, it was like 100% correct. So she naturally assumed that the woman, that the medium Googled her and found obituaries and all that other stuff. So, that's a first, and it raises the question, when do you assume that a medium cheated? Here, the medium is being criticized and penalized because of her accuracy. This person cannot believe that somebody could be that evidential, and yet we know this medium is that evidential. So that's a first. In 20 years, I haven't seen that before.
Did you send this person a copy of your book about the medium?
No, I didn't mention it. I tried to respond to this person in a very professional and logical way. I thought I did a good job. And of course, some people, it's like I didn't even write, just come right back at me. So that's when it's time to, you're not going to win. So
yeah,
move on. Moose, I should have asked you if you want to talk about this, but, on the show, we've talked about end of life experiences and this phenomenon of sudden awakening. And for people that don't know, that's when people are close to death, and for no reason that medical science has to offer, whereas they're not communicative beforehand, they have this lucid day, right? And you told me a story about a friend, and I've never heard this before. Not only did she have that day, but then she reverted back to the way she was, and then she had another day, right?
It was remarkable, and the friend who doesn't live far from me but was caring for her mother-in-law was texting me, and then the group of us, because we're all quite close, and just letting us know that the end was near and, what was going on. And I, send messages of prayer and hope and healing, and the next thing, everything's looking good. She's eating ice cream. She's chatting. When asked how she feels, oh, I feel great. So I let you know about that one. And this particular friend who knows what Tom and I, our involvement with the Forever Family Foundation, really doesn't want to ask too many questions. It's not really in her belief system, I would say.
Yeah.
So I did not share with her that, which is why I reached out to you, because I thought, I need, besides Tom, somebody else to say, is this what I think is happening? And then, of course, as you know, we had another wonderful day of lucidity. And then, unfortunately, that was the end, and a couple days later. So now we have this example that we can refer to.
I'm glad you shared that with me, too, because I learned something, you know, just goes to show you that there's no hard and fast rule when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
Quite
interesting.
We wanted to ask, is she communicating with anybody, you know, past family members? But we didn't want, because in that situation, we didn't want to press.
Yeah, understood. Let's go to a call. We have Sherry from Georgia on the line. Hi, Sherry.
Yes. Hi.
How are you? Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Do you have a question?
So this is my first time on the line, and just kind of trying to get a feel of what kind of questions I can ask, or what. Well, let me just say, I had some experiences, some dreams in the past when I was a child. I was able to see things before it happened, and that kind of faded away for me. But here in the last week, just in the last week alone, I've had dreams, and I wanted to know about the dreams. Like, they were very specific, and they all said the same thing. Wasn't the same person saying the same thing. It was just very, very profound.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds as if you're getting communications from a discarnate source, maybe multiple sources were trying to get messages through to you. You describe these dream visitations well. You know, it's some people, while their chatter mind is at rest during certain stages of sleep, have a conduit or a channel that opens up where thoughts can be imprinted. That seems to be, you know, what's happening to you. And I take it from your description that these dreams are different than so-called regular dreams, right? These have a message and they're interactive.
Very, 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 very interactive.
Yeah. Well, that's a classic example of what we talk about here on the show, about dream visitations. So you're evidently receptive to them, and I guess you're paying attention to the messages, right?
I am. However, I don't know how to respond. Like, I don't know. And there are times when I wake from asleep and I feel presences around me, like there are people standing all around me. I even woke up night and I felt a presence in the bed with me. I wasn't afraid. It didn't scare me. Normally I probably would have jumped out of my skin, but you know, this particular night, I wasn't afraid. I felt that presence, like it was just cuddling up to me. And I kind of reached over and just, you know, just wanted to be closer to that presence.
Yeah, well, that is I think all of us are happy to hear that, you know, one, because that sense of presence is probably the most prevalent form of after-death communication. People, it's not clearly defined, but you just know that somebody's around. But the most important thing that you mentioned is that you were not fearful of this, you know, and why should you be? You know, if somebody is, if your loved ones are trying to get through to you and surrounding you, you know, you should embrace it and not be fearful of it. So, I mean, it sounds like, Sherry, you're highly intuitive, and we're glad to hear that you are embracing all of these things and you continue to get communications, and I hope that they continue.
And how do I handle those? How do I go about handling that? Because that's just something I never had, even, like I said, going back to a child, being able to have premonitions. I never knew when it was going to happen. It just happened, and it would, most of the time it would frighten me. I also saw, and this might sound a little crazy, but I saw aliens, and they were trying to take me away.
Well, you know, listen, many people tell us the same thing, that they have all of these experiences as a child, and they don't know how to handle it or assimilate that. You know, they think that there's something wrong with them. And many, even of the mediums that are certified by the foundation today, tell us similar stories. They had these experiences as a child. They kept them hidden, you know, because they were fearful of telling their parents or their friends and so forth for fear of being, you know, labeled as something. But then later in life, they embrace these gifts. And there's nothing specific that you have to do about them. Just accept them for what they are. Would you agree, Tom and Melissa?
Yeah, I think if it's something you enjoy, as far as getting that feeling that you're, you know, especially being cuddled with someone, do you get a sense of who it might be? Is there someone who has passed that is close to you that you would hope would come to you in that way?
It was someone that I hoped that would come to me and hold me and just one more time.
Sure. Well, the best thing I can recommend is that you, as Bob says, it's great that you're not fearful. Mm-hmm. Also that you acknowledge and just the one thing we always talk about here is that we always want to get communication from our loved ones. And many of us, like me, are not as intuitive as you are, so I don't get those experiences. But when I do, what I do is I say, oh, thank you for coming. It's so good to see you. Please come back. You know, show gratitude that they have come to you. And realize also that when we have also found that when you've crossed over and you're in the pure energy state, it's not that easy to come back and give a message or make your presence known. So they're making a big effort to get back and to be with you in this way. And so, as I said before, the gratitude, thank them for that. And let them know that they're welcome, or he or she is welcome anytime. That will help in them, giving them the encouragement to come back and show you more or reach out more. So yeah, if it's a pleasant experience for you, by all means, show gratitude and thank them and. The point I was trying to make before, that it's hard for them to talk to us, but they hear when we talk to them. So at any time, especially when that happens, by all means, say what you want to say and they will hear it.
And, you know, Sherry, I want to add, too, it sounds like it is a little troubling to you, a new experience and, you know, welcome, but yet strange and perhaps a little odd. And I would love to be available to talk to you more, you know, privately away from the radio show, just so that you could, you know, discuss your feelings a little bit more about it. And if that would help, you could reach out to me somehow through the Forever Family Foundation, and we could talk privately about this.
Well, Sherry, thank you for sharing with us. And I hope that these experiences, these extraordinary experiences, keep happening for you.
Thank you. Just one more question. Do you think that the dreams that I was talking about, do you think that those people were trying to tell me something to do? Because I'm having problems with my 32-year-old son. So I took it as though they were trying to tell me something, but I don't know what, and I don't know how to.
Yeah, well, that can be difficult. So, I mean, there's two possibilities. Yes, it could be somebody that's in the spirit realm that's trying to send you a message, you know, possibly regarding your son. But the other possibility is that some people, you know, are very intuitive and they have these precognitive glimpses of the future. You know, may not have anything to do with spirit or a specific message, but you're seeing something that may or may not take place. It's difficult to determine, but, you know, I would pay attention to what they're saying. And if it makes sense, you know, you would act upon that if you feel that it's something that's worthwhile for you to do.
Yeah. Maybe we could also recommend, you know, because these messages are hard for them to get through, is that you might be getting little snippets of what they want to tell you. So I would keep a journal. Every time something like this happens, write it down. And even if it doesn't make sense, you know, write down whatever is that was communicated to you. And then as time goes by, you can look back at your journal and maybe the cumulative effect would give you more guidance.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry. We have to move on, but keep us posted. Call again.
Thank you. And how would I reach out to the young lady?
You could send an email to radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
radio@foreverfoundation.org.
Foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Foundation.org.
Right. Okay. All right. Take care. Have a good evening.
You too.
Good night.
Good night. You know, let's move on to another call. We have Gail from Michigan. Hello, Gail.
Hi there.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Pardon my voice. I have COPD and it's in full force right now.
Oh, sorry.
But I know. This is all new to me. My sister was a huge believer in all of this, and sadly, she passed away in 2015. And I was super, super close to her. We were a year apart. I'm going to start crying. And previously, in 1971, my brother passed away at a young age. He was 16. And it's kind of twofold. I was super close to my brother at a young age, and then he died. My father was very abusive to my brother and I, but not to my other sisters. Why? We haven't figured that one out yet. So she passed away, and the day before she passed away, she had that energy. I was with her, and she made me go home. She says, I'm good. She made me take pictures of her She had rheumatoid arthritis with interstitial lung disease, and she was on hospice, and she knew the end was near. And both my parents and my brother died in April, and this was April 30th, and I didn't want to leave her because it was still April. And she said, "I promise you I won't die in April." And I'm like, "You've still got 6 hours." She goes, "I won't die in April." And we took pictures of her, and I sent her to my sister in California. And I didn't want to leave, but she was, like, insistent. And so I left. And she passed away at 5 minutes after midnight.
Wow.
On May 1st.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. And you know, we've heard a lot about this subject, and some people, you hear many, many accounts of how the dying person, you know, waits to die until family or the people that they want to see is with them. And then you also hear many accounts where people prefer not to pass in front of their loved ones, you know, and
right.
There's no right or wrong, you know, but
right.
It certainly seems that we can choose the time that we want to let go, so to speak. You know, that's why a lot of loved ones actually, when they're, you know, when they see their family members suffering, will say to them, "It's okay. You know, you can, right. You can let go." So I don't know what your sister was thinking, but it sure does appear that she chose the time of her passing. Don't you feel that way?
And I think I feel that way too. And my wish since she's passed away is that her and my brother connected.
Yes.
Together.
You know,
again.
Because we were all so close. We were all, her and my brother were 1 year and a day apart. And I was right behind him. And so, you know, we were, you know, the ladder. We were the stepladder. And all these years, I mean, since she passed, it's like, I just pray her and my brother got together.
Well, I'm sure they're together. And not only that, I'm sure they'll be greeting you when your time comes. So there'll be a family reunion, but under very different circumstances.
Yeah, I'm sure your brother was there.
I pray my dad's not there. Yeah, well, you know, when he passed, we weren't allowed to see him. And they told us that he died from a blood disease.
Uh-huh.
And many years later, I got his autopsy, and he died from blunt force trauma to the brain.
Oh.
Which was 3 weeks before he died, my dad threw him down the stairs to get a beating.
Oh.
And I remember that because I was right behind him.
Because
my turn was next, so.
Yeah, you know, also bear in mind that if somebody was abusive, you know, in the physical life, they're no longer like that in the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people are hesitant about meeting up with a loved one that abused them.
I am. I'm scared to go up there.
No, but... You know, right now he's filled with nothing but love, you know, and recognizes, you know, the harm that he's caused, because he's felt that probably when, he, you know, he had a life review when his time came to pass. So I wouldn't be fearful of that. I mean, you'll meet somebody that is the essence of pure love and compassion, that recognizes the harm that he may have caused to others. So don't be fearful. I would look forward to meeting the entity that he is today.
Yeah, we hear see many, many mediumistic readings, and very often you will get a medium saying, "Oh, I've got this gentleman coming through." And when they realize who it is, they go, "I don't want to talk to that monster. You know, he was abusive and all of that." And invariably, every time, that person is coming through to apologize, because as Bob says, when you get to the spirit realm, you understand what you have done and the harm you have done, and you feel terrible about it and want to make amends. So I'm sorry that you had to experience that in your life, but please don't hold on to it, and certainly don't be fearful that it will not continue in the spirit realm.
And try to send forgiveness.
You know, I've gone through obviously many years of therapy, and I'm not holding on to it. I've done really well in containing it and that. But one of my other things I wanted to ask, and I know you have other people waiting, is for the past 6 or 8 months, I've been dreaming. My first husband died. He was, we were divorced when he died, and he died of juvenile diabetes. But we divorced on really easy terms, and we talked until the day he left. And I dream about him almost every night.
Wow.
In some way or another.
Aww.
And it's like we divorced because of his diabetes and his, he wouldn't control it. And I tried to control it for him, and, you know, you can't do that. But when it was out of control, he was just mean, and I had 3 young children, and it's like, I've got to protect them. And we both cried at our divorce, and the judge is like, are you sure you want to do this? You know, we held hands, and I said, I have to protect my children. And he agreed. He goes, yeah, because it gets out of control. And when his sugar was in control, he was the greatest man on earth. But when it wasn't,
it sounds like he's healed now. He's healed now, wants to show you that.
Yeah. And Ellis, Gail, you were connected in this physical life, and you remain connected, even though one of you no longer has a physical body, and that's why he's coming to you in those dreams, you know? And so that's something to look forward to, get to more, and to look upon those with kindness, you know?
Okay.
So thank you for sharing all that with us. We wish you continued.
Okay, thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you.
You know.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Be well. Okay, let's go to Johanna from Maryland. Johanna?
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My question today is, I've had really very dear friends, a father figure, grandparents, and very dear pets all pass away over the last couple of years. And I have experienced where they have visited me. At least I'm going to tell myself that that's what's happening. But I wanted to know, do I have to wait for them to come visit, or is there a way? I mean, I pray every night, and I'll pray to them, I'll talk to them, you know, is there anything? I'm not a medium, although I would love to train as become a medium, but is there anything I can do to kind of encourage them to come see me or visit me?
I wish we had a magic bullet for that, but it sounds like you're doing
right.
The things that we usually recommend, and that invite them, whether that through be thought or intention or prayer, you know, to come through and to remain, you know, open. Some people have certain ceremonies that they've, you know, or rituals, like, you know, lighting a candle, talking to them out loud, having a conversation with them and your thoughts, and just before you go to sleep, invite them to join you in your dreams. But there are certain other things that you could be proactive with, which not a lot of people know about, that we sometimes talk about, such as induced after-death communication. where practitioners can actually, using a process that's similar to EMDR, put you in a state of mind that invites loved ones in spirit to come through. There are certain practitioners that do that. Dr. Mohana demonstrates that at some of our grief retreats, but it's not a guarantee. It probably about 50% of the time people report visitations from their loved ones. So, but there are other than that, there aren't a lot of things. Some people, you may have heard us, if you listen to the show, talk about electronic voice phenomena, where people turn on recording devices, which you use your cell phone, and sometimes spirit can imprint their voice onto a recording device. Again, that's not a guarantee, and sometimes it takes many, many months or sometimes even years for it to occur, or sometimes it happens right away, you know. So, but these are things that are not guarantees. I mean, there's really nothing that's guaranteed in the spirit world. So just doing what you're doing, I think, you know, is fine. It'll happen when it happens.
I'm just being impatient.
Tom will say, make sure you say thank you for every dream visit you get and letting your loved ones know you are aware of them and you welcome more. Aren't I right, Tom?
Exactly.
And also meditating. I know, you know, that word meditation is thrown out there a lot, and most people respond with, oh, good at meditating. But I sort of stand by the 5 minutes a day of just quietly focusing on your breath and repeatedly doing this every day as a routine. And after, you know, honestly, it takes quite a while to really feel like you're making progress. But if you stick with it, I think you'll feel yourself connecting with the spirit within you, which leads, of course, to the spirits on the other side. So if you can form a practice of meditation, just simple breathing for 5 minutes each day, that may help you.
All right. I really appreciate it. Actually, I did call into this show and spoke with all three of you. Back in April, after my cat passed away, I might be the only one calling in asking if a pet will visit you. And
not really, you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and you know, I promise you, he visited me that night. I could feel him walking on top of me.
Wow, yeah, that's great.
So, that's the best.
Well, you set the intention, you know. And pets are people too, you know. they have consciousness, and they will visit you, and they come through in medium readings quite often as well. So,
yeah, there you are.
I was going to say my cat was. I used to be a massage therapist, and I learned a lot of I learned some energy healing, and I was learning about that sort of stuff, and I was practicing in my room one day. Basically, long story short, my cat was very aware of energy, and I've heard that about cats, like, because he wouldn't come near me, and then I was doing this thing to invite, like, to make my heart chakra moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden he came up onto the bed. So my cat and I had a sort of a thing. I don't know. Strange, but
close.
He was
very
close. My baby.
Well, you know, we all have a life force inside of us, and when we pass to the other side, when we pass away, that life force, that energy, goes on, whereas your physical body leaves. And a pet has life energy also. So when we leave our human body, and an animal leaves their animal body, we're all energy. And the coin of the realm in the spirit world is love. And so your first inclination for a lot of spirit is to reach back to the people and pets that they loved and let them know that they're okay. And it's the same for pets as it is for people. You know better than anybody that the love of an animal, of a pet, is mm-hmm. can be just as strong and meaningful as a love for another human. Mm-hmm. So that love also survives, and that's what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Yeah. Very well, true. Thank you. Well, thank you all so
maybe
much.
Maybe Johanna, you'll get a visitation tonight.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, we want to be two for two. Well, thanks for calling and have a good evening.
Take care now.
All right, bye
Thank
now.
You. You too. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
What a question that came in. It said, how do our loved ones in the spirit world know when we're getting ready to pass? And how do they find us once we cross over? I thought about that a lot myself. You think about it, there's millions and millions and millions of souls, right? So how do our loved ones find us? And then we were talking earlier in the show about, you know, these end of life experiences and visitations from loved ones, you know, so how do they know when we're getting ready, you know, to pass? And we're actually involved in a research study now with mediums, and we asked that very similar question, you know, because we're curious. And so far in reviewing the answers, they vary, but they have a common theme in that we all have this, people describe it in different ways, but essentially an energy imprint that's recognizable to the ones we're bonded to in the other world. And through a process that's not clearly defined, they're summoned by this energy, you know, imprint, and they intuitively know, you know, and that's why they're at our side, you know, to escort us to the other side. And our other loved ones that are already there are there to greet us. So it's a phenomenal thing. And we know that it happens. We just don't know exactly how it happens, but that makes sense to me, like an energetic bond, right? And then you might say a quantum entanglement, right? So somehow we're entangled, and what happens on one side is felt on the other side.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's so mysterious, and I like it that way, because I don't like if we had all the answers and if we knew exactly what was going to be happening and then some element of it was like, oh, I'm not so sure I wanted that to happen. So right. Let's not know. Let's just wait and explore the wonderment of it all.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, there's a lot of talk about that we're here in the physical world as a means to learning and growth for our soul and that sort of thing. And if you thought about it and you had to take a test and then you had all the answers for the test, well, what good's the test? So we're here in the physical, we're taking the test, and we have to come up with the answers that we can on our own. And that's why, and that's another, leads to another question that people say, well, you know, if they're all loving us and they're all powerful, you know, why don't they help us with all of this stuff? And that's because they know that we have to go through these experiences in order to learn and to
evolve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that actually ties in with another question that we got. So why have those in the spirit realm not given us ways to cure diseases, you know, such as cancer? There's a lot of answers to that. Maybe in some ways they're trying, you know, I mean, there are people who have made discoveries through information that they've received in dream visitations and so forth. And but also, as Tom said or alluded to, is that we're kind of left to our own designs in this physical world, you know, to make of it what we can. And, you know, maybe there's a reason why we haven't been given, you know, cures. I mean, I don't know the answer to that. But I think that we make a mistake by thinking that our loved ones have this
you're saying, I'm going to say omnipotent, but that means you know everything. It's more of a of power, you know, all powerful.
Yeah, I mean, an all knowing, all powerful. You know, that we think of our loved ones as being able to do anything, and they can't. You know, they're very much. Yeah, I mean, obviously they have superpowers that we don't have in the physical, but it doesn't mean that they're endowed with all of this never-ending knowledge base. So they may not be able to, you know, give us the answers to that, you know. But on the other hand, maybe there are people in the spirit world, we've read about that were physicians and scientists in the physical, that are working in teams on the other side to try to come up with these solutions that will eventually, you know, get communicated to us. But complicated question, isn't it?
Yes.
And even like for Tom as a musician, he'll say, you know, songs, melodies that came to him didn't really form in his brain, but came to him. So in some areas, the loved ones on the other side perhaps are influencing our lives.
That's right. That's
a good thing to bring up, because in our caller earlier wondering, well, what can I do? And, you know, in this physical world, the one thing that is holding us all back is us, our ego, our little, what they call the monkey mind. It's always chattering. Oh, what do I have to do next week? Oh, I have to go here. Oh no, I have to see him. Oh no, I don't want to see that. What are you? And we spend our whole life there, and it's in our subconscious. It's in the silence. It's in the space between the physical is where all the power is. And if as Melissa was talking before, meditation is the art of turning off our own minds and letting the space happen for us, letting the silence take us into the flow of the universe, and it'll take us where to good places. I've been practicing that for years now, and have actually can say that it does. I have been taken places that I had no control over, that I credit to that very thing of going with the flow of the universe.
Yeah. Some people wrote in with some experiences they had. This person wrote, my son loved his golden retriever, Chloe, who transitioned a month before my son's accident. One morning while I was waking up, a vision of Chloe appeared. And within seconds, my son's image followed hers. The image was from the waist up, and he had a peaceful look on his face. So there's a visitation that we've been talking about, not only from her son, but the dog, you know. So that answers both questions that came up tonight, you know. But not only a visitation in a dream, but of a physical manifestation, you know.
Which, and it made me think that Chloe sadly had to go first to be there to greet her son. Accompany him.
Here's one that came in. It actually came in with a recording that I can't play. But our son Kyle transitioned suddenly in May of 2020 at the age of 40. He was a creative, gregarious force of nature while on Earth, and that didn't stop him when he crossed over to the other side of the veil. An after-death researcher told me my son was one energetic and determined spirit, and that he was. He bombarded our whole family with signs, so I knew I wasn't just imagining things. I wrote down over 50 signs, but there have been many more. But my hands-down favorite was a recording. About 8 months after he'd passed, I was in my bathroom getting ready for bed. I happened to glance at my phone, and the recording icon somehow caught my attention. I never recorded anything before. I picked up the phone, and on a whim, I did a couple testing recordings. Yep, it worked. My next recording went like this. I love you, Kylie. Can you say mama or Coterian? She says that last word was just one of their stupid joke words, so I should ignore it. I was in the upstairs bathroom all by myself. My husband was in the basement. It was totally quiet. I immediately played back the recording, not expecting anything, but what I had just recorded sounded like this. She's saying, "I love you, Kylie. Can you say mama?" And then it was a click, click, you know, mama or quaternion, you know, quaternion. A second mama actually appeared on the tape. It was not the same voice as mine. It's hard to decipher whose, but it did sound like my son's a bit. I kept blinking and playing it back. And then I stood there for a few minutes thinking I was going out of my mind. I ran downstairs and let my husband, a total skeptic, listen. He shook his head. "You must have recorded the second mama," he said. And I responded, "It's not the same. And why would I do that? It's in a voice I can't mimic." He was flummoxed. I then sent it to a researcher I know who wrote back, "Of course I heard it. And I don't even have my hearing aids in." These phenomena are common, but it's in just about all the cases, the sender and recipient were very close. My son and I were definitely very close on Earth and now in our new relationship, where he comes through often to make sure I have no doubt that he's still around. And then she attached the recording, which I listened to, and it's very clear, you know, there are two mamas when she said that she only recorded one. Wow. It's sort of like on cue, her son was, you know, she's saying, "I want to hear mama." And he said, "Mama." So it sounds like two mamas, but one was the response. So those things are very cool to hear.
Yeah, that's an absolute EVP, to be sure. Yeah. Melissa has a very similar one.
Yeah. And obviously she said she's got over 50 signs, and that's the one that's because – and we've talked about this. That's the one where she has the hard evidence. She has the recording, right? Yes. It's not something that she heard from a third party.
I hope our listeners experiment with that. And I don't believe we've actually done that exact experiment. We've let our recorders run with total silence and then played it back to see, did we get, you know, our intention is to hear something. But we never made a request like that.
Right. That's a lot of it. I mean, it reminds me of I took my mom to a medium who always recorded every session with a cassette tape back years ago. And at about 45 minutes into an hour long reading, she goes, "Oh," and it was my father coming through for my mom. And the medium says, "Oh, he just told me he's going to mess with your tape." And I said, "Okay, that's nice." And I took the tape home. And that was a time when CDs were starting to come in and people didn't have cassette players anymore. So what I would do is I would take the cassette and then burn it to a CD so Melissa could listen or my mom could listen in the car. And sure enough, it got to 45 minutes and I'm listening to the tape and the medium says, "Oh, and he's going to mess with the tape."
Yeah,
and
just like that.
And it was like, I was aghast. I mean, wow, it's exactly the point. So yeah, it does happen. And when you think about it, when we, it's our life force energy. When we become pure energy, what better way to communicate but through electronics, right? Because that's all energy running through wires. So you jump into the wire and you leave your imprint.
Right, exactly. Here's a question. Is it wrong for me to wish death upon a loved one who is suffering? And people may have different opinions about that. I mean, my opinion is, of course not. You know, I mean, you're wishing the passing out of love. You're not, I mean, as an end to suffering, when it appears that there's no more lessons left to learn, you know, it's time, you know, and just the physical body isn't cooperating, but the mind is ready to, you know, to go. So, but a lot of people, I can understand how people are conflicted. I mean, right, Melissa? I mean, that must, people feel horrible after making a decision to pull the plug, right, on somebody.
No, it's so sad that they're faced with that. It makes me recall many years ago, decades ago, Tom's sister-in-law and I would have conversations while her mom was having in-home hospice care. And her mother was a lovely, wonderful woman. And we would talk in the afternoon, my sister-in-law and I, and just, why? What's she holding on for? And all I could come up with was, you know, now we're getting into another realm of reincarnation or something, because I thought there must be a soul waiting to come into this physical world and is going to adopt or take on Mim's, you know, spirit or physical form. I don't know how you would say that, but needed a body to come into. Who knows if that ever happened? But my sister-in-law, who perhaps wasn't much of a believer, agreed with that theory. Like, yeah, because what else could possibly explain this rather, you know, torturous ending to what otherwise was a wonderful life? It didn't make any other sense except that.
Right.
So, who knows?
You know, I've mentioned this before, but every time I use the expression that people use, like pull the plug. I'm always smiling at that story I heard when, you know, the guy gathers his family and he said, look, if it ever comes to that point where I'm hooked up to all those machines, I want you to pull the plug. And then he says, and then I want you to plug it back in and see if that works. Hey, you know, it works for computers, you know.
That's right.
Why not? Give it a try.
Yeah. I know we're reaching the end of our time, but we have about 3 minutes. But person says, is mediumship a talent, and can we all do it? I know that Tom will give a musical analogy, but I think we all believe that, yeah, it is a talent, but there's a vast difference in that talent and what you could do, right? Right, Tom?
Yeah, it's a yes on both answers. It is a talent, and I know many mediums swear that, you know, we all have that talent, and I'll jump into my analogy here. We can all play the violin. You can pick up a violin and you can play it, but if you're going to play at Carnegie Hall, it's going to take a lot of dedication and work. And that's the same way with mediumship, you know. So a medium who can fill an auditorium with people and read them is a lot different from somebody who just sort of said, oh, you know, I got this premonition that something was going to happen, so let me tell people I'm a medium. That's the gamut.
And I still think that there has to be some sort of a
innate.
I mean, I could never, no matter how many much training that I sat through, I could never become an evidential medium, you know, but there, because I just don't have that innate gift. But there are those that have some degree, and training does help. They may never be among the best mediums, but they might be a pretty good practitioner. Well, I think we've just about reach the end of our time. I will, as we normally do, read the Global Peace Prayer that was written by our former president of the Foundation, Claude Swanson, who's now on the other side. Let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we would like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to a fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment.
And I'd like to say, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone. Thanks for joining us tonight. See you next time. Bye-bye.